This is the passage that God has embedded in my heart, and we're going to talk about worship, which is a central part of our Christian being, our calling. God has called us to worship Him, the true God. Everything that we do supposedly give praise to God. And so, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 6, and we'll be reading verses 1 to 7, and then we'll jump from verse 12 up to the last verse, which is 23. Is it okay for you to stand up again and give respect to God? We'll be reading 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, and then 12 to 23. This is the word of God. David again brought together all the able young men of Israel, 30,000. He and all his men went to Baalah in Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim on the ark. They set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the Ark of God on it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nakhun, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the Ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark. And then verse 12. Now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the Ark of God. So David went to bring up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the Ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping, dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for him. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israel, both men and women. And all the people went to their homes. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants, as any vulgar fellow would." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father, or anyone from his house, when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people, Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slaves, girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. May the Lord God add more blessings to the reading of His Word. You can sit now. Three people walk into the church: the dead, the barren, and the Bulgar king. They have three different ways of worshiping the true God. And today I would like for us to learn from these three people what is really accepted from us as far as our worship to God is concerned. What it is about worship that even the king, King David, can strip down and lift up and be called and dignified by his own wife. We found out in the Bible that worship, true worship, is primarily for God. But this God that we are serving, the God that we are worshiping even at this very moment, is a God who is generous and loving, that he would like to share the blessing with us. But do not forget that worship is primarily about God and what he wants from us. The context of the text that we have read this morning, it's very interesting because, as we know, David was appointed by God himself, of course, through the prophet Samuel. And he became the king. Within that context, there was, of course, a lot of intrigue that happened, and there was a brutal civil war between the north and, of course, Israel and Judah. And then all of a sudden, there was peace, and he was ready to worship God. That was the context. He was ready to worship God. But the problem was that at that time, they did not follow what was written in the Bible, how to carry the Ark of Covenant. And that's the reason why Uzzah was struck down by God. What was the philosophy of Uzzah? The philosophy of Uzzah is that what worked for others will work for us. I don't know if you have heard this teaching or philosophy that says, because it's working for them, especially for the world, let us follow it as well in our church or in our form of worship. The problem with that is that primarily we have a different God. Am I right? The God of the world is very different. And so the question is not what worked for them will work for us. That is not the question. The question is, what does this God, this holy God, want from us? When we come together as a church, as a local body, or sometimes individually we come before in the presence of God, what does this benevolent and loving God want from us? That is the primary question. But Uzzah's philosophy is that, well, what works for them will work for us. And it did not work for him specifically. And what was his sin? His sin is his willingness to carry the ark on an ox cart was a clear breach of divine command and, of course, teaching of God. It says here, seemingly, that for Uzzah and some people there, it was convenient to do that. It was convenient, but that is not what God wanted from them. He forgot something that is, it's all about worship for the living God. And it's not about our convenience. It's not about us and what we wanted. It is something that God wanted from us. You know, there is something wrong when our worship service reflects more of our culture than the Christ that we are worshiping. Let me repeat that. Let it be a guiding, some kind of principle for all of us when we worship God. When we come up with the form and even style of worship, and especially the content of our worship, it should reflect more of Jesus Christ than the world that we are trying to reach. With, of course, the love of Jesus Christ. But what was Uzzah's greater sin? To think that it was his job should God stumble and to ensure he falls into his hands. He reached out to the ark, and he was not, of course, entitled to do that. Only the high priest can do that. And therefore, he was struck down by God. What does it teach us about God in this specific situation? That God is not a household deity entrusted to us for safekeeping, or our role on earth is not to keep God from mishap or embarrassment. Believe me, God can take care of himself. But here is the main reason the main lesson for Uzzah and for all of us to learn. Uzzah was struck dead by God, but what matters most is that because he did not truly worship God, he was already spiritually dead even before his death. Uzzah's death just exposes spiritual deadness to the open. And people are like that. They don't know that they are dead in their spiritual life. As Ephesians chapter 2 says, we are all dead in our trespasses. The second person, the barren Michael, and this is very interesting. Okay. After a while, when this happened, of course, David was so disappointed, and so he put the Ark of Covenant in this household, and then he heard that this household is being blessed by God, and so he said, maybe this is the time for the Ark of Covenant to enter into the city of David. Everything went well. And David, as we read in the Bible, being, of course, consistent to his character, went home to bless his own household. But Michal, who was watching from the window what was happening, despised David in her heart. And in the most passive-aggressive way, in a woman way, she said to David in verse 20, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants, as any vulgar fellow would. Michal's philosophy in life is that do not jump off the deep end, but better still, do not jump at all. Do not get involved. Just stay at home and watch from the window. Watch from the window. Do not embarrass yourself so that people will not say anything against you. We have a president, former president in the Philippines. He said, more talk, more mistake, right? Less talk, less mistake. No talk, no mistake. Maybe in some political ways that will be applicable, but that is not the way we live our Christian life. I like what the former president of this country said. It is entitled, The Man Who Is Actually in the Arena. And this is really an encouragement to me, especially every time I have this sinister criticism against me. And I will evaluate the criticism. Yes, we have to learn from them, but also we have to ask the question, where is the criticism coming? This is what the former president, Theodore Roosevelt, said. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives violently, who errs and comes up short again and again, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly. What counts, he said, or the credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena. Michael's philosophy is do not be in the arena because you'll be embarrassing yourself. Because maybe you will fail. Maybe you will fail. She was not in the arena, and yet she had the audacity to criticize King David, right? That's why I said, let's learn from criticism or from people who criticize us. But we have to ask also, do they have the right to criticize us, right? I have white hair now. It means that my kids are no longer teenagers. How many times have you been criticized by our children, right? And yet they don't have their own family. I'm saying we love them, but hey, let's talk when you have your own family. When The first time our second grandchild was brought to our house, woke up in the morning like 5 o'clock, and there was this still voice, baby crying. So I went to the room, because the room was adjacent to our room, and because this was like 2 days after the birth, the mom, as I said, deaf, my son is deaf, and the baby was crying by herself. They could not hear, of course, the cry of the baby. And I said to myself, oh, I'm going to be a father again. Yes, grandfather, but father again. It is important for us to understand this, that Michael was coming from her words, her criticism, her evaluation of King David, came from a distant, cold distant, that is not involved of what is happening. Michael forgot something, that worship comes from the heart. And therefore, we cannot dictate what is in our heart, whether it's be accepted as a proper decorum. And she's teaching us about our God that we are worshiping. The God that we are worshiping is not the God who is somehow a keeper of our reputation. God is not a divine mismanner intent on dictating the etiquette that maintains polite society, horrified by any outburst of fervor and joy. The Christian life is like that. It will be a moment of long faithfulness, and then there will be an outburst of joy. And that's what happened to King David. King David did not worship God daily on this manner. Am I right? No. This was an outburst of joy because all of a sudden he realized, and we'll find out especially from his response to Michael, to his wife, that even though he was unworthy to become the king, he was appointed by this divine God to be the king over Israel. But what is the greater sin of Michael? Her sin was that she saw David worship God but did not understand it. Helen Keller said, the tragedy of our time is seeing but not understanding. What's the result? Michael was struck barren by God. But what matters most is because she did not truly worship God, she was already spiritually barren before God struck her. Michael, being barren, just exposed her spiritual barrenness to the open. It did not say in our text that because of that, all of a sudden, Michael was barren. But the way the Hebrew writers juxtapose, especially the rice verse, says that that was the result. Because she did not worship true God, the true God, and criticized David, she became barren up to the time of her death. I like what Mark Twain said, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones you did. So throw off the bowlines, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sail, explore, dream, and discover. I like that because God is calling us not to be safe in our own life, but rather we give our life in serving Him, in serving Him. And that is what the Bible says, that those people who lose their life in my name, God, Jesus Christ, in my name, okay? In my name, not in crazy ways, okay? But in my name, you will find it. You will find it, the meaning of life. Now let's us look at the vulgar king, David. What's David's philosophy? David's philosophy is this. The fretful Uzzah saw only a dull box, and Michael saw an unruly crowd and a vulgar king. David's priority is to satisfy God with all his heart and might. Well, what's the description of King David in the Bible? A man who is after God's heart. He has that unique title in the Bible because he would like to be intimate with God in all aspects of his life. And that is the main purpose of this message today. I hope that our worship to God is central in our being, central in our church, central in our family, and it is affecting all aspects of our lives. David was alive because of his worship and his intimate relationship with God. David remembers something, that God is the king of his kingdom and he is the Lord of his land. Have you heard about the expression, imprecatory prayer? Prayer especially by David in the Psalms. People who are against him and he will pray, something bad will happen to him. The reason that he could pray that, because those people were enemies of God. They were not enemies of him personally, but they were become enemies of God because they were against him who has been appointed by God to be the king of Israel. And that's why he was able to pray those kinds of prayers. He was so intimate with God that he said, "You criticize me, you are after my life, it means that you are an enemy of God, because it is God who appointed me to be the king." Look at the response of David to Michal. David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people, Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord, and I will even become more undignified." Chris Tomlin has a song entitled Undignified, right? Let me read some of the lyrics. "I will dance, I will sing, to be mad for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul. And I'll become even more undignified than this. Some may say it's foolishness, but I will become even more undignified than this." David danced alive, fully alive, and the Lord blessed him. David was truly alive. You know, I have worship in other parts of the world, and there are actually many forms of worship and styles of worship. Two things that I would like for you to understand. One, okay, there is no biblical way for right way of worshiping God in terms of form and style. Okay? A person who is maybe a silent night person in his worship against maybe a joy to the world kind of person is not more spiritual than the other. No. There is. If you are going to look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2, there is no music there. And yet it says, this is your spiritual worship to God. What? Living a holy life. There is no music there. Okay? Second, okay, God is not asking you to join them. No, he's not asking you to join them, especially those maybe you're not comfortable to worship God, okay? But God is asking you to bless them. And do not badmouth them in public, because we belong to the same team. And our coach is Jesus Christ. And that's why I like it that there are all kinds of churches for all kinds of people. And this is what David is trying to understand, trying to teach us and for us to understand. Michal said, no, you have to be silent in the way you worship. You have to be prime and proper. No? You don't need to jump. You don't need to dance before the Lord. You must not be undignified. And David said, no, I can do that from time to time, because what is in my heart is what matters before God. If I'm worshiping him in truth and spirit, and then my heart is seeking this living God, that I am after this living God, then I will be acceptable before God. Even though sometimes worship will be like, there are long lyrics, right? Wrong tune. In the province or mountains of the Philippines, I have a good friend who is a Christian artist, a big name in the Philippines. And he was in the mountains in the Philippines, and he was part of this worship service. And he could not understand the lyrics. But they're singing God Reigns. Remember that song, God Reigns? But they were singing Dolores. Not God Reigns. Dolores, God Reigns. Instead of Dolores, they were singing Dolores. And he said, why are they singing Dolores? Because they don't have the lyrics. One from the group went down, heard the music, brought it up, and they started to sing. Will that be acceptable before God? Maybe, I don't know. But what is in their heart, they would like to worship God because they are so limited. And they may be very different from us. My point is here. Maybe in your worst moment, in your deepest sorrows, uncertain situation, or maybe in the midst of blessing or plenty, you can worship God. And you can express yourself before God because He will understand you and celebrate you. Make God the focal point of your worship. Make Christ be the focal point of your worship. May the Lord bless these words in your hearts. Amen.